Welcome to the Love, Sex and Freedom podcast. This is where you're going to discover how to bring awakening into the body and into everyday life through powerful tantric teachings. Get ready to release, open and step into your true power.
This material was taken from the Living Tantra Retreat. To attend the Living Tantra Retreat, please go to our website and click on events for more details.
So, base chakra day. Let's all get a hand in there. Hand between your cock and Uranus or your pussy and Uranus. Right where your perineum is. And just breathe into your base. Feel that full breath that we were doing earlier. Give some time to give thanks for our parents. Thank you for bringing me here. Give thanks to this life, this world that we're in, this body, this being, this temple that we're all sharing right now. Let's give thanks for the breath, for our safety, for our freedom, for the love in our hearts. Feeling your connection to the earth, let's give thanks to Mother Nature and her bounty of goodness in the food that we eat, the beauty we see, the immensity of energy and moods that we feel through her and Father Sky. You're safe. Mother Earth, Father Sky has you. The mothering energy and fathering energy within you has you. You're going to learn to nurture yourself, to bring that mothering nurturing to yourself today and that fatherly awareness and presence to yourself today. We give thanks for this inner family. We give thanks to the mother, to the father within. We give thanks to the tradition of Tantra that always reminds us that home is right here and safety is right here. Lum, 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 la la 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 lum, la hum, la hum. It's safe to be you, it's safe to be in your body. Safe to relax into who you really are. You're safe. Ironically, all the change that you seek happens when you stop trying so fucking hard to control yourself, to be something, to be someone, when you can let go into the crazy of a moment, as fully as the bliss, into the heart-wrenching grief of a moment, as much as the unshakable laughter that bursts forth in a moment of happiness. Can we be with all of it and feel safe with all of it? Dark is not evil. Dark is simply the lower energies, the more unseen energies, the lower chakras, the parts that are deep. Can you say yes to that darkness that you see behind your eyes? That the mind easily avoids. as much as you say yes to the light. Because if you say yes to the light and you don't say yes to the dark, the light is fucking bullshit. It is fucking bullshit. It is spiritual bypass. It is the nice girl mask, the nice guy mask. It's the judgment of the real and the raw. Can you be with it all? Can you be with the light that remembers we are one with everything? The light of the song when the heart is open without any armor to this joyful existence. And can you be with the dark that is part of this human experience, that is not just the emotions that are hard to feel, but also your power, your sexuality, your groundedness? Tantra says yes to everything. Everything is welcome here. Everything is welcome here. Tantra guides you into your wholeness so that you can return to the innocence of a child who's just like a sensory organ breathing into existence in every moment and fully allowing the expression of that. What if that's the most enlightened state? What if that's why when you look into the eyes of a baby, there's an undeniable feeling of something that can't be explained, but which has truth at its core? It's safe to be you. Put your hand on your heart, ground that in. It's safe to be all of you. You don't have to be anything for anyone this week, or hopefully for the rest of your life. If you're feeling angry, you have a right to scream. And when you know that right, you stop screaming at people. You stop projecting your pain at people, and you just let the ripples of rage move through your body. When you're sad, it's okay to cry and let the tears fall. When you're disappointed, it's okay to feel that. It's okay to feel everything. It's okay to feel numb. It's okay to feel shock. It's okay to feel fear. It's okay to feel helpless. So let today be the day where you stop trying to be anywhere other than right here where you are. And then opening the eyes, removing your hand from your beautiful base. And I want you to just feel into this base chakra energy, this beautiful red vortex of energy. So remember, before the formless becomes form, yeah? Before we become these bodies, there's these energy centers called chakras that emit energy and receive energy. Right? And we're going to unblock these chakras this week and give them some freedom. So we're starting with the base. So just feel this red, beautiful vortex of energy. It'll be spinning in a clockwise direction. And feel what that chakra is emitting. Feel what it's receiving. Just kind of trust your imagination. And just see this red chakra coming a bit more online. Don't force anything, but just see this red wheel of energy beginning to move in a clockwise direction. Like a swirl of fire inviting you to be fully alive. To feel safe in your aliveness, to feel safe in your body. Maybe move your hips a little in this motion. And then turn to the person on your left. Well, not everyone can do that, right? That's one of my raven things that I do. Georgia, what do they need to do? Yeah, but which way?
Well, it's
going to
be different.
Well, you face me, you face him, and then everyone else, that should work out, right? Just fucking face each other. Make it work. All right, face each other. Feel this energy. Thanks, Georgia. Okay, now keep just feeling your own base for now. And then see how receptive you can be through your base as you're meeting this person. Can you just allow safety into your base chakra? Can you receive safety from this person's presence? And can you emit that from your own base? And how do you feel safe with another? Maybe it's as simple as not wanting anything from that other. Not trying. Just being here in loving presence with no agenda, that's what creates safety. I have a 12-month practitioner training that's huge, and the most important section of it is to never forget the healing power of just being with someone in loving presence with no agenda to fix them, no agenda to fuck them, no agenda to get anything out of this interaction or prove yourself, but simply to be here for all of it. So both of you now, just be yourselves. Give yourself the loving presence you need to be yourself, and give the other loving presence for them to be themselves. Feel it in your base. Feel the receptivity of this energy and the emitting of this energy. Maybe move the hips slightly. And the Bijan mantra for the base chakra is Lum. So we're just going to sing this mantra to each other. Lum, 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 in your own way. Lum, 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 you are safe. Lum, 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 it is safe to be you, to be true. Lum, lum, lum. It is safe to be you, to be true. Lum, 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 lum. Lum, 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 lum.
Safe, oh, it's safe.
Lum, 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 it is safe to be you and to be true. Beautiful. And thanking your partner with a hug. And coming back. it might not make sense, you know. Like, maybe I'm guiding something and then you just want to scream, or you want to move your feet really fast, or you want to shake, or you want to say no, or you want to cry, you want to hold yourself. Can you just trust that wisdom? You don't need to know why. And maybe your body's having a memory of something, yeah? And it feels strong, but the memory's not clear. That's okay. There is a wisdom to your body that's far greater than the wisdom of the mind. And Tantra, you know, it holds space for bliss. And part of this holding space for bliss is the dance between all of it, between sympathetic and parasympathetic, because the nature of human existence is in the ebbs and flows, right? But we get so addicted to the bliss of joy. But actually, if you let go fully into the bliss of grief, it's just as ecstatic. It's just as ecstatic because the body is having a release of all the pent-up adrenaline and frustration and anger and hopelessness and shame. So there's an ecstasy in that. And, you know, the resistance to our breathing, stress breathing, we're not breathing in the belly. There's anxiety, there's panic. Means that we either take that adrenaline into the doing, and we're just constantly in the doing and surviving, or we take it into an addiction. And most people are in a cycle of both. And because what does an addiction do? An addiction is often bringing your body into a state of ease, right? Whether it's a joint, a glass of wine, scrolling, watching a movie. Because you're distracted from the hell that your mind creates for yourself through the resistance of what's alive in you. But what if that ease that you get through the addiction can be found without the addiction? What if you can be high and excited without drugs? What if you can be relaxed and okay with yourself without your addictions? Now, a lot of people, when they're trying to resolve an addiction, they're focused on the addiction as the problem. I've got to overcome this addiction. I've got to stop eating whenever I'm stressed. I've got to stop going for my phone. And the more spiritual you get, the more hard on yourself you become, which just sends you into a spiral. And actually, a lot of what happens in personal development in the spiritual world is just as fucking destructive as what happens in the Matrix. It's just a new pressure on yourself. You know, the pressure of the Matrix is do better, make more money, have your 5, 10, 20-year plan, earn more money, get your ducks in a row, do, whatever you need to do to survive and to gain security. So that the beating of your heart that knows there's something more is so fucking shoved down that we're all just sheep going, bah, either in the spiritual world or in the Matrix. What's everyone else doing? Oh, we're meditating and being quiet. Okay. Oh, we're doing this posture. Oh, we're singing mantra now. Be your fucking self. Be your fucking self this week. It's not to say that those classes don't have great aspects to them. They do. But they're not the full picture. Right? So we have, as I see it, three main bodies or modalities that support us in finding greater ease, right? And that's yoga, you know, the discipline of meditation, of postures, of going into non-duality, yeah? Going into silence, jhana. And it's beautiful. And then we have therapy, right? Which helps you to function and understand why you found it difficult to function. And it's great to have that understanding. And some of that therapy is more body-based and can connect what you're experiencing now to what you've experienced in the past so that you have greater understanding. And you can begin a process of releasing some of that trauma from the past. And then we have shamanism, yeah, which is this beautiful purge of anything that's not our essential nature, often through plant medicine, but also through the song, yeah, through music. And it reminds us, again, of who we are. And the basic principle of shamanism is where attention goes, energy flows. So the attention is placed on that song of remembering. So each of these are amazing. The reason that after exploring each of these extensively in my life and personal development, and EFT, emotional freedom technique, lots of different therapies and modalities, that it wasn't until I found Tantra and really embraced the tradition wholeheartedly as a way of life, it wasn't until then that I began to feel a genuine sense of ease to be completely myself. Because it includes all three of those, and then also its own principles of masculine and feminine, of this central theme that all of you is divine and everything in existence is divine, of exploring sexuality and interacting with sexuality as a pathway to making what's unconscious conscious. What a beautiful tradition. It excludes nothing and utilizes everything, right? And not all Tantra teachers include everything. You know, I take a very inclusive approach, but the tradition itself allows for that. You know, I can call myself a Tantra teacher, even though I include all of that, but can a therapist call themselves a therapist if they allow human intimacy and touch while there's sexual energy running through their bodies to be there in a session? Can they be called a therapist if they actually share their life with you and be real about their own relationships and their own sex life so that you can actually feel the person who's facilitating you and trust that person at a deeper level? And yoga, it's so beautiful, this practice of becoming the ocean, right? The vastness, the openness of the ocean that can witness the waves of thought and emotion. Beautiful. But what about feeling those waves? What about allowing that, the waves of our eroticism, the waves of our rage, the waves of our grief? And then shamanism. Doesn't allow It's the song of the shaman that takes you home, right? Doesn't necessarily allow for your song. And it's the great purge that is invited through the medicine, which means that it's great. You know, plant medicine is great in small doses. It can become a dependency if we don't know how to move our own emotional body, because it's the only time we finally feel free of all of our baggage, and it flashes very quickly, right? So, you know, my experience of plant medicine is that it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I'll only have it if I feel really cold, and that's not very often. But it's like my body has to catch up, because it's flushing everything that's unconscious without necessarily the light of your own awareness being able to track that. So I have to kind of go back and go, okay, fuck, I feel different. There's been all of this, and then my practice for the next, that takes me about 3 months to integrate a medicine set, I have to kind of track back and go, okay, so feel each part deeper so that the body, mind, and energy of me can all come together in that and integrate that. So if you can imagine that Tantra is a temple, right? Imagine this fucking epic, beautiful temple that gates open and welcomes everyone in. You don't have to stick to a creed or pray to a certain god. Love is your prayer. Freedom is your prayer. Making love is your prayer. You walk into this temple, and there's all these beautiful LED lights in this temple. Therapy comes in when the LED lights break, right? There's a crack in the lights, and then therapy fixes that. It mends what happened in the break, right? Someone threw a stone in your life. Someone threw a stone at the temple. It's the therapist who comes and fixes that. And then yoga cleans the light, the lead light, you know? It's like the lead light gets dirty and the light can't shine through. So yoga cleans all that. It's a beautiful practice to clean the mind and body, yeah, and our energetics. And then shamanism is the light that's shining through, is the nature, the light of the sun, the light of spirit, just, it's all part of the temple. But what happens in the temple is a complete mystery. It follows no structure. If you're a Tantra practitioner, or if you're dedicated to the practice of Tantra, you have no idea what's going to go on in a session or in your practice, because Tantra is the only tradition that is more feminine than masculine. What do I mean by that? That the let go, the and allowing whatever wants to be created from that let go takes precedence over structure. The permission of the waves takes precedence over the discipline. The discipline is the letting go until it's not. And then it's like, oh, wow, I get to just be me. And people are going to judge me whether I care about them judging me or not. I might as well not give a fuck, right? It doesn't mean you don't have integrity. It doesn't mean you don't have your own barometer. Oh, if I want to hang out with this person, I'm all excited to hang out with them. Maybe they're going to think I'm needy and reject me. But if that's who you are, that's who you are. You want to hang out? You hang out. And actually the thought of the judgment You know, our fear of rejection is usually what sets us up for rejection, because our thoughts create our reality, right? Do we all know that by now? The fear of failure. The fear of anything. What if there was no fear to be you? That you knew that being you is the greatest gift that you can give anyone. Because we're all so unique, right? And for uniqueness to really shine through so we can leave the legacy we're meant to leave on the planet and give the people the gifts that our soul is meant to give them, we have to experience a level of freedom in that. So imagine how much your life would change if you stopped trying to change. Imagine how much your life would change if you followed the pulse of your heart, your inner knowing, your aliveness. You know, I'm going to talk about boundaries later, but the most important thing about boundaries is trusting what's alive in you and checking it out. If you feel angry, it's probably because a boundary's been transgressed. If you've gone into freeze, it's probably because you didn't pause when you needed to, right? And set the boundary you were meant to set. Yeah, so where there's been, especially if there's been trauma in a certain area, so if there's been sexual trauma, it's gonna take a while to find your voice in the bedroom. If there's been emotional trauma where you've had a very emotionally abusive parent, it's gonna take a while to catch it when someone's being emotionally abusive. Same with physical abuse or anything. And then if you haven't had any abuse, then it's not going to take that long either, right? And really what it comes down to is if you're present in your body and you're being yourself, you're not going to tolerate. You're going to say stop, right? And yeah, that's a process. And, you know, what Georgia was talking about. So parasympathetic, just imagine that it's here. This is ease. This is when we're relaxed and we can hang out and chill. And then we have the fight or flight here, right? So that animal response, you're sensing a danger and you can either run a mile away from that danger or you can face that danger and fight, right? And most of us haven't ran that energy. We just hold it all down, that fight or flight response, and then it escalates into freeze, which actually is also a relaxed state. And this is where a lot of people live, you know, in some form of numbness and freeze for a lot of their lives, right? So if you're here, if you're in freeze, you can't just go straight to here. This isn't going to be authentic. You got to go from numb and freeze into sympathetic, into fight or flight, to then drop back. And depending on how much trauma you've had, that will dictate how easily you escalate. So like Georgia, I could be at 0 point and then escalate to freeze in a matter of seconds, right? I had a very emotionally abusive mother. So whenever someone would get very abusive with me, I would just like go into the stress breath, go into freeze. But then there was so much energy in my body that my body would naturally go into fight or flight to find homeostasis, right? To come back into ease. But that fight or flight is at someone. So when we're running fight or flight through the mind and not through the body, we harm people. We have a lot of conflict. We run from people, right? So the key is to run that fight or flight response in your own time. And you're gonna have an experience of that shortly, yeah? So this weave in Tantra of allowing all of the human experiences means that naturally bliss is found in these opposites. We don't have to exclude sympathetic in order to feel bliss. So there's sympathetic, parasympathetic, right? Peaks and valleys. And like all traditions, all spiritual traditions that say, don't resist your pain, don't attach to your pleasure. Life is peaks and valleys, you know, be with it all, allow it all. There's that common ground with Tantra. However, what Tantra says is let's get dynamic with that. Let's get ecstatic with that. Let's take a feminine approach to that, where we are having a felt sense of that fight or flight, and we're letting it really rip through the body. Now, that feminine approach doesn't mean that the masculine isn't there, and everything in Tantra is about balancing these energies, because without the awareness and stillness capacity of the masculine, the waves can be overbearing, right? When felt. Without the waves being felt, we have spiritual bypass. Yeah? An addiction, an avoidance, and numbness. So too much feminine is drama, emotional chaos, just like too much, right? Too much masculine is avoidance, addiction, and bypass. So we want to combine these energies and then choose when to lead from the feminine, when to lead from the masculine, which you're going to learn so much about this week. But what the point I'm driving home now is that other traditions, especially yoga and therapy, are leading with the masculine. Why? Because they're following a structure of logic, reasoning, and system to achieve a certain result. When we're leading with the feminine, we're not following anything to get a result. We're letting go so that the creation and dance of the mystery are trusted as something greater than the mind. So much you can learn about the anatomy of your emotions and energy and psychology, and I've done it all. I dedicated 14 years of my life to studying that. Did it stop me from being shit scared of intimacy? Did it stop me from feeling anxious and like I couldn't be myself? Did it heal my sexual abuse? No. So, when we're exploring real change, to me, real change happens when we're willing to jump off the cliff and be in the mystery that unfolds when we're fully in the body, right? And then, you know, I do have practices that I'm going to teach you which are going to offer some structure to support that for sure. But the explanations and the study of the where and the why and the how, if you want to do it, yeah, go for it. But that's not the thing that's going to create the real change. Living as your authentic self is the part that's going to affect the real change. Because what happens is when you're your real self, you can't lie to yourself anymore. You actually have to feel the areas of your life you feel constrained in. You actually have to feel your desires for something else. So, you know, addictions are not the problem. They're the solution to the global energetic pandemic, which is that everyone is shit scared to just be themselves and to feel everything fully and allow that. So I can't be here. I can't be myself. Ah, but if I have a bit of this, I can be. I can't be here, I can't feel this. Ah, if I have a bit of this, I don't have to feel it, right? It's a solution. It's a great solution. Whatever addiction you have, go, well done. You found a good solution to the part of you that found it really difficult to stay in your body. Go on, pat yourself on your back. I'm sure you've all judged yourself for your addictions. Well done, right? And now, well done, because you found yourself in a space that's going to give you another solution to the problem, which is to be in your body and feel what you're avoiding. And I'm not saying never take drugs or have a drink. Again, Tantra is different to other traditions. It's not the tradition of abstinence. When I went to my first Tantra retreat and like the teachers were having wine and smoking and like letting loose, I'm like, whoa. And then Stu Watkins, a friend of mine, some of you might know, I was having a conversation with him about this and he was like, yeah, when I found Tantra, I started drinking beer again. And it's like, yeah, fuck, have fun. I'm never one to say don't have fun. There are certain aspects of the human experience that are heightened with stimulants, right? But if we're using it as a dependency, if it's an addiction that we can't live without, that we're gagging for because we can't be in our body, that's when the solution needs to change, right? Because when you're just enjoying it, it's not your solution. You're just having fun. When you need it, or you feel like you can't live and you can't cope, then it's time to really look at this solution that I'm going to present right now, which is to really allow this flow of sympathetic and parasympathetic to just be fully expressed in the body. So I'm going to take you into a process now where I guide you into really recognizing, acknowledging, and identifying some of the stories that you create, and then take you into a space of feeling what's behind all of that, right? Without therapizing you. And what I ask is that you don't therapize yourself or try to work it out. Just be there. So when I take you into the adrenaline part, the more that you let loose, the more that when I take you then into the parasympathetic and the let go, you will feel that authentically. Because we all want to relax, we all want to feel free, and we're still doing things to get to that state. Actually, it's our essential nature, it's our birthright to be here in our ease, no matter what we're feeling, right? And again, a baby naturally knows how to bring itself back to homeostasis. It releases the charge, and unfortunately, a lot of parents don't let their children cry or scream, even as babies. They release that charge, they release that adrenaline, and then they sleep. Or then they chill, or then they play. Then something else might happen, right? There's too many things going on. TV's on, mum's cooking, dad's shouting. Eventually, the baby's receiving all of that. It's just going to go, rah! It's not analysing. It's not going, oh, this trauma is because dad did this and da-da-da. You don't need to. You don't need to. You just surrender to that. And it's interesting. The psychology of it all is interesting. And I still analyse because I've got all of that psychological background. But where the real change happens is when I'm just like, and then when I go into parasympathetic, what's the truth? Ah, this is the truth. Could I have come up with that by analysing everything? No. It's in the heart. It's in the body. And it's trusting the mystery that this body and this heart is supporting you to surrender into. So there's a beautiful story that talks about the different stages of evolution and enlightenment from Nietzsche. Anyone know the philosopher Nietzsche? He's kind of cool, hey? So he talks about the first stage of development is the camel stage. And this is where we're accumulating information, right? We're doing it hard. We're in the desert and we're finding out why we're so fucked up, you know? We're finding out ways to be better and to live better. But we're still in survival, where we're surviving in the desert. And then the next stage of development, right, is the lion stage, where we start to realize through all of our reading and our study and our accumulating and our surviving, fuck, the world's pretty fucked up. The education system's pretty fucked up. My parents fucked up, you know? I fucked up. I've said yes when I meant no. I haven't followed my heart. My thoughts take over too much. And there's a rebellion to all of that. And that's the lion stage where we're just like, rawr! I'm going to live differently, right? And we start to kind of explore the jungle. And we find other lions to explore the jungle with, and we start to feel more free. And we're like dancing and expressing and being more authentic and starting to influence other people through the impact of our embodiment, because people start to wonder. You know how many times I've been in random places like shopping centers or petrol stations or parties, and I went to see a gig the other night and I was just kicking back and talking to some people and they're like, who are you? Like, what do you do? And this happens often, right? And it's not because I'm special. It's just because I'm myself and people aren't used to that. So they're curious about it. You know, I don't sit down and talk about, oh, that gig was awesome, wasn't it? I'll sit down and I'll be wherever I am and ask questions that I'm actually interested in that most people would never even consider asking. I could feel tension between them and I'm like, and it was kind of coming at me at one point and I'm like, are you two going through something? Because I'm feeling some energy coming my way. I either need to stop talking to you guys or let's talk about that. And they're like, wow. And then we started talking about it. And it was interesting. And then the woman said to me, if you were to sing me something in the morning, what would you sing me? Because you seem like a wise, powerful woman, and I want a song when I wake up and I'm feeling anxious. And so I sang her a morning song, and it was the song that I used to sing to my kids. She was probably expecting some spiritual, like, amazing. I'm like, good morning to the birds up in the sky. Good morning to the clouds as they float on by. Good morning to the nests where the birds do rest. Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. She was like, oh my God, I feel so much better if I wake up. And then some other people walked over to the conversation, right? So this is where it's at. It's not even in the session space or in the workshop room. That's why this is my last retreat. I'm not interested in educating anymore. What I'm interested in is helping lights find other lights. Reminding people who they are because I remember who I am and I'm brave enough to be that person. So that's my encouragement to you. On the lunch breaks, in your life, let the light of who you are shine. And guess what? The dark only births more light. If you deny the dark, the light's just here. Every time you're brave enough to feel the charge and the adrenaline that wants to say, fuck you, your light gets brighter. Because you're no longer armoring So what happens to energy, to emotional energy, when it's not expressed through the body? It becomes armor. If you're not feeling that, it becomes static in the body. It creates armor around the body. It becomes static, and we live in a state of protection because all of that's in there, right? So if we're not letting it out, we have to protect that, right? We have to be armored. So this is a process of melting the armor and being free. And I don't care where I am, and all of my friends will attest to this, if I'm in a cafe and I'm feeling something strong, I'll cry. I'll growl a bit. Right? Because I know if I don't get it in that moment and it gets stuck, it's going to be a lot harder to release. Don't let it stay stuck. What, you think no one else in the cafe is feeling angry today? Maybe they'll feel relieved that someone's finally growling instead of smiling and going, "Thank you. Can I have my coffee, please?" And, you know, that's genuine sometimes. Yeah, great. But if you've just found out that someone's child might have to be fucking vaccinated to go to school, and you're raging about that, and you're just swallowing it and eating your breakfast anyway, that's going to get all stuffed down. It's going to get stuck in your cells. Those cells are going to duplicate. You're either going to get sick, take it out on someone, go to an addiction, or happy days, all three. And that's why so much of our population is over-medicated, overworked, and stressed to the hilt, and sick. According to Raven, and according to a lot of different people who understand mind-body-energy balance.
This material was taken from the Living Tantra Retreat. To attend the Living Tantra Retreat, please go to our website and click on events for more details.
Thanks for listening to the Love, Sex and Freedom podcast. For more great free resources, in-person and online workshops, and our retreats, find us on Instagram and Facebook at Embodied Awakening Academy, or visit embodiedawakeningacademy.com. See you next time.